Father, thank you so much for the words we just heard. Father, it's truth. Lord, we come to you in worship, honor, and praise. We are thankful that we find our lives in you, and you in us. Thank you, Father, for every soul that is here. Thank you for this opportunity to seek you. Lord, we're just blessed. We think of now of our this fleshly body here that you want, hopefully, can flow through. We pray that it would be pure and holy. We pray, Father, that we can be surrendered to you, that everything can bring honor and glory to you. Would you be our teacher today? Thank you for every soul, this service. We just thank you, Father, for your wisdom. We see your wisdom everywhere. And just be with us today, the Holy Spirit. We just pray. We need you. Thank you. Just ask these things in your worthy name. Amen. You may be seated. Greetings to each one. We extend greetings of love and peace to each one. We see some yawning and maybe some tiredness after a hard week, and so we trust that God will help us here. We again too just were touched by the serving and the giving this week, and we just pray that we know that God will bless you for that. We are thankful for that. Thank you. We leave that with the Lord, but we do want to say that we have a lot of gifts here. We have people that enjoy serving and are gifted to serve. And that is a blessing from God. And may we just thank Him for it. And may we continue to find ways to use these gifts for His kingdom. Thank you. It's been a blessing to my heart in that way. Well, this morning we would like to share some thoughts on healthy church life, if you'll allow us to. And I'm not sure I feel the daunting task of keeping your attention and keeping you all alert, and I'm not sure how all we will do that. This isn't something new and exciting and something that we can stand on the pulpit and just boldly declare. So somehow may the Lord help us. But to begin with, when we think of the church, the church is mocked and scoffed in our day. It's ridiculed and it's made fun of. And this morning, to start with, it'd be a blessing if we could maybe take a few minutes, a few moments, and just consider deep in my heart, when I think of the church, even the church here, what comes to my thoughts? What do I think about? What is my attitude towards the church that Jesus Christ gave His life for? He gave His life. When I think of that church, it's made up of people that are human, people that are trying to find their way. This is not a message to excuse sin, and it's not a message to do any of this. But what are my aspirations and my thoughts when I think of the Church of Jesus Christ? Are they what they should be this morning? I also would like to open with this scripture out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. It's a scripture that I think I would like to put before us this morning. And I would like for us to consider the carefulness that I see in this scripture. Verse 32 says, give none offense, comma. And then it tells us all the things that we shouldn't give offense to. And the word offense, I should have looked it up. It's a stumbling block or whatnot. We'll maybe talk about that a little bit later here, just in a bit. But it says, give none offense. It doesn't say once in a while it's okay. Or depending on what happens, then I have offense that I'm allowed to give. It just simply, Paul says, give none offense. Neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Did you know that you were asked this morning that you're asked to not be an offense to the church of God? If we turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 18, that scripture came to my mind. We can maybe give a bit of a better definition on the word, the way that the word offense is used there. Verse 6, it says, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Is there more shame in what Jesus says here than there was, than there would be in even dying on the cross or whatnot? I'm not sure. I'm not really sure why Jesus used these words. But they're pretty serious words. If there's offense, and I think it's something, my dear brothers and sisters, that we should give some thought and prayer to, that we're not an offense to the little ones, and that we're not an offense to the church of God. The Amplified has verse 32 like this. Do not let yourself be hindrances by giving an offense to the Jews, to the Greeks, or to the church of God. Do not lead others into sin by your mode of life. By your mode of life. Healthy church life. I do pray that God would use these words, and already has, to challenge your view of the church of Jesus Christ. And I pray God would use this message to help you put more value into the church of Jesus Christ. Me, I guess I'm the one that I'm saying it to myself here. I need it myself. I had some scriptures here out of Job, but it seems like time is... I just wanted to spend a little bit of time here gazing, taking your thoughts back into church history, and not really at this time calling a lot of things to mind that have happened in church history. But as I do that, I see two elements that are just stand out to me. One is the divine hand of God. He worked in human lives as church history was formed. And so we have those two, God and man, God and humans. And I just wanted you to think about that, because I think that that's what's happening right now. I think that it's God's divine hand in our lives that are going to determine, are yielding to God and are yielding to His Word, are going to determine what kind of church life that we experience here in our day. Romans says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." I was going to spend a little more time on that, but I think we'll just keep going. Brothers and sisters, it takes effort and work to enjoy healthy, vibrant church life. History teaches us unmistakably that the tendency is for church life to degenerate, to deteriorate. It seems like it's important that we're reminded here this morning that healthy church life is not a stroll in the park. It's not something that you'll experience without much work and effort. And if we're not all responsible and do our part, none of us will experience it. It takes all of us to be responsible to do our part. And once half of us are being irresponsible, we will no longer experience healthy, vibrant church life. And it seems important that we would be reminded this morning that church life tends to deteriorate and degenerate. It would be nice if we could take the nation of Israel for an example, and we could say the glory that Israel begun with increased and multiplied, and by the time that the church was birthed, Israel's glory far exceeded its glory when it was birthed. But it was just the opposite. Israel had a glorious beginning. Years later, it found itself in captivity. It was the same for the New Testament church. What a glorious beginning. By the time Jude wrote in Jude, he says, "Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation." Think of that. The Word of God is saying here they were ordained to this condemnation. "Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." We can look at the New Testament, and it's powerful and it's amazing. But here of late, I've been noticing all the trouble they had. They had trouble, even in the New Testament. And so let's bear that in mind. Even our Anabaptist forefathers, I had the opportunity to read Conrad Grebel's the story of his life, and it was interesting. In a lot of ways, I appreciated the stand that he took and he gave his life. But in a lot of ways, it was also rebellion here and there in his life. And it bothered me. And I feel like some of that can come through to today if we don't watch. His life was way beyond mine. It's a beautiful life that he did, that he served. But as I read his life, I was amazed at some of the things. And I was burdened a bit. Anyway, we want to leave that with God and whatnot. But the Anabaptist movement, it began with glory and whatnot, and God multiplied it. It was under persecution. The more it was persecuted, the stronger it grew. But then years later, we read of the apostasy in Holland, Germany, and how the church life almost didn't exist. And so all of this to just say, thank you for all the effort that you put into church life, but we can't relax, brothers. We can't let the excuse, well, there's more people here, or there's enough others to do this, or there's just all these different reasons why we can have to not press in. And my heart is, I don't think we can afford that as a church. I don't think we can afford to relax, and I don't think we can afford to be complacent. I'm thankful. Brothers, hear my heart. This is not a message of judgment. This is not a message of doom. I'm encouraged, but I want us to continue to think rightly about church life and a healthy, vibrant church life. Also, I'd like to remind us that we are a minority. We stand against forces that can very quickly swallow us up. When God is no longer with us, we're deceived to think that we can stand. It will always take complete dedication and hard work to have a healthy church and to experience healthy, vibrant church life. As Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Suffer hardship." Are we armed with this mind? I had to think of Philippians. Paul wrote in Philippians, he said, "Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind as Christ had." Christ came armed to suffer. Are we armed and ready to suffer hard things? Paul also wrote to Timothy in chapter 1, verse 18, 1 Timothy. He says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." War? Warfare in America? Here on earth? But it's true, brothers. We are in a war. We have an enemy that is intent on destroying the souls of our children. He's intent on destroying the church. He's intent on us not experiencing healthy, vibrant church life. He's intent to divide the church. He's intent to destroy. The other thing I would like for us to think about here at the beginning is that somehow we relate what heaven will be with our church life here on earth. In our church life here on earth, we're not in heaven. Truly, we're not. And God help me to continue to be willing to lay down and suffer and give up everything. I want to do that with all my heart. But we're not going to have a beautiful life here on earth and live godly both. I just don't think we can do that. I also wanted to mention here at the beginning, and you're going to wonder if I'm still in the beginning, if I'm ever going to end, but our thoughts and our attitudes about the church, I had to think of the Lord's Prayer. He said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And I think many times the purpose of the church is misunderstood by God's people. The church isn't here so I can go to heaven. We trust that we can spend eternity in God's presence. But God's chief desire is that heaven find its way here on earth. And when I think of how little that's happened in my life, and how little that's happening in our day, it shames me. How little of heaven have God's people been able to bring to earth? It's embarrassing. But I think it's God's heart. Jesus prayed it. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Fight the good fight of faith. We talked about being in war, in our souls, the war for our souls and the souls of men. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness." Follow after the things that are right. Godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, and gentleness. Meekness is gentleness and mild. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fight the good fight of faith is what I want to get here from verse 12. Lay hold on eternal life. We're in a war. We're in a war for our souls, and may the evil one not deceive us. Now, your past church experience. You know, I don't know what all you experienced in your past church experience, but I just want to encourage us to continue to be willing to lay some of that down and be willing to let God teach us what He wants to about healthy, vibrant church life. Healthy church life. Vibrant church life. The other thing that came to my mind, the reason that's important is if church is just something we go do once a week and we're not plugged in and we're half-heartedly involved and whatnot, I just want to remind us that I believe that God wants to prepare us for eternity with what happens here in the church. And I just want us to think a little bit about our mindset and our views and our attitude and our experience. I don't know what all your experiences were with your past church life, but I'd like for you to take a few moments and offer them up before the Lord. If there's something there that's hindering you, if there's something there that is causing you to not see the Church of Jesus Christ the way God would have you, I would like for us to have opportunity to consider that today. I think that if we can be honest about our past experience, we have the hope of changing our future experience with God and His people. That's my heart. The importance of engaging wholeheartedly in worship and prayer and the fellowship of the saints and building up the most holy faith. That's our goal. That's our heart. As John says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, if you want to follow with your Bibles. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This is beautiful. This happens in the church. Fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. I know to many of us, we feel like we have nothing to contribute to a Sunday morning service. But that's some of my burden. You have so much that you bring to every service. The prayer meeting, the greeting line, singing, testimonies. Everyone contributes in way more ways than you know. I wish we could spend more time on this. I just want to encourage you that you bring more to the service than you're aware of. If we look at ourselves as having nothing to contribute, then it seems like we will unconsciously start taking instead of bringing to contribute. Some of our responsibilities, if you'll allow me to, we're all responsible to not bring worldliness or drift into the church. When we do this, we're not building the church. We're helping it degenerate. We're helping it deteriorate. Who can know the life-building, the life-giving, the importance of an updated personal walk with God? Who can tell how much that contributes to every church service? If we all personally take responsibility to keep our own spiritual lives in order, how can we know the volumes that contributes to every service? How can we place a proper value on this? Who can understand the contribution of a life that excels at keeping the inner spiritual life and the outer convictions and values as godly as possible? If everyone does this, it helps maintain healthy, vibrant church life. And I would like to encourage us to do this. Individualism is an enemy to healthy, vibrant church life. It's very destructive. We are all responsible to not bring new things into the church. New fads, hairdos, clothes, colors of material, all of these things that make us stand out. Anything that would grieve our Lord Jesus Christ if He were in our midst. Anything that draws attention to myself. Anything on our outward appearance that doesn't contribute to healthy, vibrant church life. Please, my dear brothers and sisters, let's leave those things at home. We should consider it a great responsibility. Think about the great responsibility that comes with bringing something new into the church. Do you really want to have that responsibility? I don't want the responsibility. But sometimes I don't think we think about what we're doing when we do that. How destructive it is to the church. Our mindset of, well, that's none of His business. I can do whatever I want. I'm in Christ. And individualism, I'm just wanting to spend a few moments, probably not going as deep here as we should, but individualism is very destructive. My God, my Bible, my way, my convictions, how I want it, it deteriorates the church. The church degenerates when we have this attitude in our heart there's a practice, there's godly values here, there's godliness, there's holiness that's been here for some time. And I'm just asking, would you please consider what we value here as a church, and would you add to it, and would you enhance it, and would you build it up, instead of trying in any way to stand out or do anything to deteriorate or destroy? We should consider the responsibility that we take on ourselves when we don't do that. Please be careful and sensitive to the Church of Jesus Christ, as I read the scripture earlier, to not be an offense to the Church of God. The mindset that I talked about, that there should probably be a message, it's no one else's business what I do. It's very destructive. Brothers and sisters, I'd just like to exhort us too, and this deserves, there should be some teaching on family and whatnot, but your children, keep your children, your family in order. When we're human, and I don't want to lay down something that's not real here, but make it a goal of yours to keep your family in order at home. So when you come to church, that the church can be a healthy, vibrant place to worship and hear from God. Children, you know, running in the sanctuary, and they're just things that I want to encourage us to continue to pressing into. And with all of us, to what we discuss at the fellowship meals and stuff, and I just want to remind us that this is the Lord's Day. And, yeah, maybe it's okay to mention who shot a deer and who did this and who did that. And we're human. We want to be real. But is it possible to one day of the week when we come together to bring a psalm, bring a verse, bring something, young people, that you can discuss out of Scripture, or a testimony, or bring something godly like that that you can discuss at church? I think it'll help build the church. Yeah, I know we want to be real and human, and I'm not saying it's always sin to mention that someone shot a deer or something did that, but if that's what most of what we talk about at the church, I'd like for us to consider young men and sisters. If we can't talk about the Bible at church with each other, when are we going to? When are we going to do that? Take the courage and break open a verse. Bring a psalm. Share it. I'd also just like to put in a word. There's a lot of talk. There's enough said about what all's wrong with the church. And I'd like to just ask you all to lay those conversations aside. Let us focus on our own lives and how we can better serve Jesus Christ and what we can do to build the church. Let's discuss Scripture, our own walk, or what we're reading, or how to reach others, or what we can do to build the church. We can talk about the life of Christ, the power of Christ, the glory of Jesus Christ, what all He's forgiven you, what you've gained victory over. There's so much we can talk about, and it'll be so much more edifying. It'll prepare us for eternity, brothers and sisters, young people. God wants to prepare us for eternity, and He wants us to start this fellowship around Jesus Christ and His Word now. He don't want us to wait till we're in heaven to start doing these things. As 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I know that you can say that this isn't real. The goal is set too high. But may our goal be to see the church in its highest state of perfection and excellence here on earth. Maybe those ideals sound too high. Maybe we're not being real. I know we'll never have maybe a perfect church here on earth. But to shoot for anything less will not help us. The Bible teaches us that anything less than perfection is too low of a standard for the child of God and for the church of Jesus Christ. Paul says to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 through 29, he says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I think the standard of excellence and perfection is not too high. Maybe we will never attain it, but let us at least have that standard of holiness and excellence and godliness that we strive for. Present every man perfect in Christ, Paul is saying here. And also in Ephesians 5, you know these scriptures, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. May we join in the work. May we work on the spots and the wrinkles together. The best spot remover is the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no spot that the blood of Jesus Christ can't remove. And the best wrinkle remover is the Word of God, along with the Spirit of God. You know, I do want to also say the church can be a challenging place. There's different cultures that are coming together. There's people recovering from addictions. There's people that are trying to overcome carnality and sin of a horrible life in the past. And not everything is always as glorious as we'd like, but yet Jesus Christ gave His life for the church. And there's a glory that is still with the church. You have people that are trying to change their lives, and sadly, sometimes there's failure. Sometimes not everything is as glorious as we'd like. May we always continue to participate and embrace the Church of Jesus Christ and to build it up, to do our part, and to be responsible. It takes from the church, if enough of us come and just take and take and take every Sunday, it affects the life of the church. I know years ago I preached a message, are you a life giver or a life taker? And I thought of that message as I was preparing this one. I never went back. I didn't go back and look at my notes, but I thought about it. And it's more important, brothers, than we think, that we build and give life to the church. And I did want to... Did I forget, Brother Alvin? I was going to say when I got up here that it would have been a blessing if you had just kept on going. I really appreciated what you shared. And sorry, maybe I forgot to mention that. But let's go to the Bible here a bit. The Thessalonica church gives us a few pretty good examples here. Paul does in chapter 1 of Thessalonians. He says, let's just read a few of these. He says, let's just start in verse 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. And I think that can be said about each one of us here. Each one of you here is what I meant to say this last week. And I know you do it almost every week. Your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God, our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. So here, Paul commends them for their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope in Christ. It's a beautiful model of a healthy, vibrant church life that we see here in these scriptures. In verse 8, Paul commends them for their witness and their work in their community and in the country where they lived. In verse 8, it says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." What a testimony of healthy, vibrant church life that we see here. We see this model here in Thessalonica here. The only also in verse in chapter 4, if we go there, verse 1 of chapter 4, he says, "Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." That's also a part, something that I think we should consider a little today, is to continue to abound more and more is important in healthy, vibrant church life. We can't never allow the attitude that we've arrived or we've attained or we're there. I don't think we can have room to allow those attitudes in our heart. As he also says in verse 9 and 10 again, he says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it towards all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more," increase more and more. The only path to healthy church life is to abound more and more. If we allow wrong attitudes in our hearts, we will start deteriorating and degenerating. Also, to change the subject a little bit here, the most important foundation to a healthy church life is Jesus Christ. He must be the chief cornerstone. He must be everything must be around him. He must be the one our faith and trust is focused on. He is the head of the church. Our love and devotion and worship is to him. And these aren't just words that we're saying. He must be our all in all. As Colossians 3:11 says, "But Christ is all in all." Healthy church life needs constant prayer, praying for one another. Praying for one another is a beautiful way to help us prepare for eternity as well. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. But in Jude chapter 1, verse 20 here, it says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Moving on to more practical things here. Healthy church life includes attending meetings with joy and enthusiasm and participating. Greeting one another, brothers and sisters, with a firm handshake and a kiss of love. You know, I'd like to just share a little. You know, what fervency when you shake someone's hand, don't give them a dead fish. You just, your hands hang out there and then someone picks it up and touches a little like that. Give someone a firm handshake. And, you know, the Bible doesn't say a holy hug. I know we had COVID and whatnot, and we didn't want to be rebellious to the government. We didn't know how to handle some of that. But I just want to encourage you, brothers, greet one another and with a holy kiss. It's not just a touching of the cheeks or a hugging each other. The Bible makes it clear. It says probably six different times or more it talks about this. It says, it doesn't say a holy hug. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 20, it says, all the brethren greet you. And then he says, greet you one another with a holy kiss. In 2 Corinthians 13, greet one another with a holy kiss. In Thessalonians, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And I just want to encourage you in that way. It's part of healthy, vibrant church life. Come to church with plans to greet everyone with a smile. Greet everyone. I know that we get used to each other, but it's okay to plan on just greeting everyone. A big smile, kind words to each other greatly add to the fullness of joy and healthy church life. Bring life with you. The life of Jesus Christ, bring it. Remember, Jesus said, what you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do unto me. I think of these scriptures. Matthew 25, verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. But the verse that was sobering to me was verse 45. The opportunities that we miss forever to do good to them of the household of faith that we miss. Jesus says, then he answered them, on the other hand, and said, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of these, the least of ye, I'm not reading it right here, as much as ye did it not to one of these, the least of ye did it not to, that's not, okay, let me read it right here. Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of these, the least of ye did it not to me. It seems like it's not quite worded right, but maybe I'm still not reading it right. Okay, but it's an important principle that we should expound on a bit more. Let us remember that what we do to our brother, we're doing unto Christ. Can we remember that? I think that makes a difference. Sisters as well, the way you treat each other, greet each other, sisters, and build each other up. We there's tremendous opportunity to do that. We can only experience healthy church life when we are all responsible, when we all do our part. We should never be careless with sin. Sin affects the church. What is our mindset towards sin? It's one thing to struggle. It's one thing to struggle and be trying with all your, be trying, you know, to overcome and whatnot. It's another thing to just look at sin like it doesn't matter, to just not care about sin. That's wrong, brothers. Sin affects the church. Sin is like a leprosy or cancer. It destroys the body of Christ. As Paul wrote to the Romans, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. I'm talking about moral sins or sins that we're human and we all have perfecting that God wants to do. And we can't keep picking each other apart as we're trying to be perfected by Christ. But if there's sins unto death, that destroy our lives, we don't want them reigning in our mortal bodies when there's power and grace to overcome them. If we're struggling with sin, let's be responsible. Let's find help. There's overcoming power in Jesus Christ. May we might need help to find freedom, and that's okay. God has that help for us. May we all know that we're expected to contribute and participate. Bring a listening ear, a testimony, an offering, a love offering, a word of blessing, words of love and peace, a heart full of gratitude and thanksgiving. What would happen if just one Sunday a month, every one of us would come to church and all we would talk about was things we're thankful for? I mean, we have enough. We have enough. We could talk about that for every Sunday of the month, to just come and be thankful. To bring a heart full of gratitude every Sunday. I'm not saying it has to be every Sunday, but there's so much we can bring to contribute and participate and to build up. Give to God all that we have is His, our tithes, our offerings. And when we give, we recognize God as being the divine owner of everything. Now, some things that would be nice if they stayed at home. If we want to experience healthy church life, there are some things that need to stay at home. Don't bring business to church. Just make it a habit by God's grace that as you walk in those front doors, business just stays, probably even when you leave home. Maybe put it in a drawer at home, business. Along with your phone, you know. I haven't been watching. I know some years ago we talked about as brothers, and I'm not sure if people still walk around with the phone on their side and whatnot. And I once in a while bring a phone because there's people going to contact me. But I would encourage you to leave your phone out in the vehicle or leave it at home. I think this is one day of the week that we don't really need a phone, probably, possibly. It's the Lord's Day. We dedicate this day to worship and honor Him. Our plans for next week can wait. Anything that draws attention to myself should stay at home. I think that'd be a good place for it. This is the Lord's Day. It's not an opportunity to display myself and draw attention to myself in any way. Our worries and the cares of this life, they were mentioned earlier. Put them in somewhere at home in an empty drawer. Before you leave, they'll still be there when you get back. They just seem to not leave. Our pride and our egos, those can stay at home. Cliques. We've been blessed in times past with everyone trying to build relationships with everyone, and that suffered some here of last. But I just want to encourage you. We have friends. I'm sure we have friends that are closer to us. Jesus Christ did as well. But when we're just with the same people every Sunday and we're not trying to build relationships with everyone, it's not building healthy, vibrant church life. And I want to encourage us to not do that. Young people, build relationships with everyone as best you can. I know that can be hard, but seek to do that. Make that your heart in that way. Okay, we're winding down here. For healthy church life, come famished. Come hungry and thirsty for truth. And come hungering and thirsting to meet with the God of heaven. Jesus says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." There's a promise to those that come hungry and thirsty. Jesus says, "I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." He says in 58 of the same John 6, chapter John 6, verse 58, "This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever." I just want to encourage you. Come hungry and thirsty, famished. And I do want to also say that you do have control on what you crave. When the Bible says, "Set your affections on things above," that means we control what we desire. We control what kind of appetites we build in our own lives. What we set our affections on and what we crave is up to us. We can choose to crave the things of God and His Word. I also just want to commend you for the reverent, teachable spirit that's been here. It's a lot of this I'm just really blessed by. There's been a reverent, teachable spirit here that I just bless God for. May that continue. You know, I've taught at places where it seemed like people came as judges. They just came there and they sat there with the attitude and they just wanted to find all the fault they could. And when you were done teaching, they come up and they just picked it apart everywhere they could. And it wasn't even my heart, and I'm not perfect, but thank you for not coming that way. You come with a teachable, reverent spirit, and I appreciate it. Distractions during the service. You know, we could talk about some of those, but let's continue to be mindful of things that take away from healthy, vibrant church life, healthy church life. Things that take away and things that add to it is my heart here today. The other thing I want to, as we're getting ready to close here, healthy church life is not about me and what I will get out of it. God designed church life as a place to serve and to give and to teach us how to nourish and cherish and build each other up. And if we're coming to church with the attitude of what's the church going to do for me or whatnot, we wouldn't say that. But that can easily be our attitude as the church owes me this. Oh, the church can do that. Oh, blah, blah, you know. But it's not about me and what I get out of it. God has higher things than that for us. Let us come together around Jesus Christ with great anticipation of being with Him and worshiping Him with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, I was amazed. We had a baptism last Sunday. And the weather wasn't all that fit for a baptism, maybe, some would say. But I just want to exhort us to, I think Brother Allen shared last Sunday how we can be soft. And, you know, many of our Anabaptist forefathers met out, and that was the only time they could meet was in weather like that, when it was just cold and blowing and whatnot. And the opportunity to meet, may God help us. Healthy church life. Forgive me if I didn't deliver this all as godly as it could have been, but it's been a burden on my heart here. And I just want, in closing here, I'd like for you to think of this with me. I believe when the Church of God assembles, it is by far the greatest and most important meeting that's ever held on this side of eternity. I asked one of you, pray tell me, is there a greater meeting? Is there a meeting of more importance than when a church gathers on this side of eternity? I don't know of any. I believe when the Church of God gathers, it's the most important meeting on this side of eternity. May the greatness and importance of this meeting move us to all do our part and to be responsible and to do abundantly more than is asked and to do our part to build up so that we can all experience healthy, vibrant church life together. Healthy, vibrant church life. I think I'd like to just close with that same scripture that I opened with, if you would allow me to. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. It says, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Give none offense to the church of God. Thank you for all that you are. You have blessed our lives, and this was a burden that was meant more to encourage and build up, and it probably didn't come across all of those ways that I wanted it to, but may God help us to experience healthy, vibrant church life as we have opportunity here on this side of eternity.